Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Hotel Barigani. What's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that can benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck, we have Kadara Bey, Dr. Arlene Bey, Julani Bey, Tahaka Amina L. Bey, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bey, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Sekou Abur L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio, or visual for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosekou.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosekou.com. DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Welcome, Moors. Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amina L. Bey. And you all are here tonight in regards to an introduction to the Moors Summit that's going to be happening here in Jacksonville, Florida, January the 12th and the 13th. And what we're going to do this evening is allow the brothers and sisters to come in from all over the country that will actually be hosting this event and teaching at the summit. And give us a brief synopsis of what they'll be discussing and what we'll be bringing to the table. And we got a lot of people that'll be coming in, so I'm going to open up the line and let my co-host come on in here this evening. Peace, brother. Diallo Sekou, are you there?
I'm here, brother. Islam.
Islam. Brother, you want to give us another quick, brief introduction of what we're about to be doing here in Jacksonville and what we're going to be discussing here this evening?
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate the opportunity first for allowing us to come on your show and speak on this the summit, which will be taking place in January of next month. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be bringing basically heads, different heads, to come and demonstrate different information from technology to aquaponics, to administrative process. The public who's also invited, and this is a free event, the public who's also invited can put in their information. We're putting it together so that we can bounce ideas and concepts off of each other. I'll be introducing a couple of things. One is an agenda for us to move forward as a co-op economically, to move forward somewhat like a Department of Commerce. It's okay if an individual is doing good economically solo, but it doesn't tie into a cooperative and it doesn't build up a community when you are by yourself doing well or working economically versus putting everyone together and moving this thing forward. The first thing on the agenda is to create a 25-year agenda for our community. We need to forecast what it is we need to be doing, how we're going to do it, and where do we see ourselves in 25 years. And my main focus personally is our children. With 25 years of work invested inside of our children, we cannot lose. That's the investment. And so making sure that the adults are educated properly, whether it's on culture, anything else dealing with us, will make sure that our children are basically being invested in correctly. And that's it in a nutshell. This is not a session where people will come, speak, and the people leave. This is a working, what I call a working workshop, where we will come, we will put in work. Sunday, that last day, because it's 2 days, Sunday, that last day, when we walk away from each other, that Monday, whatever it is we agreed upon, will be implemented. So this is empirical information. This is not a bunch of talking. We've been doing enough talking. It's time to put the feet to the concrete.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, brother, and I will be right there with you in bringing in the information that I have. I want to share the administrative process and deal with the importance of understanding law and show them how to go about implementing these things, protecting themselves, how to actually deal with the bill collectors, anybody that they're dealing with from a position of strength. And that's what I want to bring to the table as my contribution to the Morris Summit. And I'm pretty sure that we have quite a few teachers and educators that will be there. And I look to hear from them tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, you all go ahead and raise your hand out there. If you got any questions or comment, we'll let you in. And keep in mind that we are offering our free articles as usual, the 14th Amendment Exposed, the Commerce Game, and How to Play, and the History of the United States and its Debt. And it's very, very important information. The way to get a hold of that is simply by contacting me at tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I'll get that to you. Also, we have one of the most comprehensive libraries in the United States right here. The way you access that is simply calling me 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll get you in there. Now, now, brother, what I want to get out front here is how can the average person get more information on this engagement? What's your website address?
Well, what we're encouraging people to do is log on to dalosaku.com, and there's a page at the very top that says register with Summit of the Moors. It's a very simple page, and if you're bringing guests, we need the guest name. We prefer to know who's all going to be there for seating wise and anything else that so we won't have any surprises. That's dialosaku.com. And on there, you also, for people that are traveling from out of town, there will be there's also information for hotels, for a hotel that we set up, Best Western, I believe it is. Just mention that you're with the Summit of the Moors, and we have a nice special discount.
Okay. All right. Now, the address location for the actual event. That's 1625 North Pearl Street. right down the street from my house, Masjid El Salam's bookstore at 1625 North Pearl Street. And what about a direct telephone number?
They call me directly. Area code 706-284-9808. Area code 706-284-9808. And I've been getting calls, I mean, for the last 2 weeks, hitting hard, helping promoting this, and brothers and sisters that's along with me helping promote it. They've been getting people asking about it, and we just ask, you know, send them to the website, let's register them, or send me their name so we can get them locked in. And the beautiful thing about this summit is you get to see and hear things that you normally wouldn't hear because of the stage of Summit of Moors economics versus anything that's normally out there. And this is free versus going to see two or three people and they're charging and you just, you know, you feel good, your ego feel good, you feel like you learned something and, you know, that was it. Time out for that, man. Right now it's about time for getting stuff done. If we're going to give information needs to be applicable to what's going to help feed that single mother, what's going to help that family economically. If the store closed down tonight, what you going to do? You understand? So this is the information. These are the diverse group of people we have that's being promoted and that's also not being promoted. That's also going to be there. We're going to have Cannon Land coming in via Skype, and I think we'll be having some more communities out in London locked in as well. So this is a momentous occasion, man, and this is not a one-time thing. The summit will be reconvened. We'll have the one in January, and then we'll follow up in August to make sure that the goals and objectives that we set are being met. So August, Marcus Garvey weekend, we'll be right back in Jacksonville, Florida. But this time it won't just be what's going on. It's going to be something a little bit more different. It'll be about moving forward.
Okay. All right. Now, you mentioned that this is a free event, and the only thing that we want everybody to do is to register. And that way we can have a general idea of who's who and who's coming, and that'll let us know about the amount of people that'll be there. And that will be very, very helpful information for us to have. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are encouraging you to go ahead to our www.DiarloSecure.com. Website and get on there and register, and you can click on the flyer and get a bigger look at it. That way you can read the entire thing so we know exactly what the agenda is on January the 12th through the 13th. Okay, now I'm going to take a little break, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, if you got any questions, any comments, you can go ahead and raise your hand. And y'all excuse me just for a few minutes. I'll be right back. So y'all hold your hat, and we'll get down into the meat of this broadcast. Okay?
All right. We'll be right back.
Okay, Morris, we're back.
Sir.
All righty.
Now, let me ask you this, Dallas. Now, when it comes to the children, you mentioned about the children being the future. Now, I know that there are a lot of Moors out there with children, and when we look at that from an economic standpoint, could you give us a little breakdown on how you see that? What do you envision as far as the children are concerned?
Well, we have a few things, man. One is, first, education. We have to establish a school that's strictly for them because we aren't like anybody else on the planet. And I'm working locally with the public school system here. Not with the school system, but with parents and other activists to straighten out what's going on in the school system. And so, I mean, it's a clear, decisive thing. It's not even brain surgery. We need our own schools. And once we have our own schools, then we can cultivate the type of minds that give back, that deal with science, that deal with law, that deal with engineering. We don't need any more football and basketball players, man, okay? The NBA is 85% what they call African-American, and we're only 1% to 3% of our engineers and doctors. So the public school system is failing us because we're predominantly, not only just because of right, but first of all, the school system wasn't built for us. So we have to build something that's built for us, by us, so we can produce the type of minds, the mindset that we want to live inside our society and amongst the world and to compete internationally with any other children on the planet Earth. The other thing is we need mentoring programs, and this space can be done for free. But the other programs that we'll be building and investing in, say, for example, the farming. I've been getting calls about a lot of brothers and sisters that have property. They have their own farmland, but if we put it together collectively, or if we utilize it, come up with a concept, an idea where we all can utilize it, this is something that children can deal with. Then they understand that food is not grown inside a grocery store, but a straight-up farm. Summer programs where they have to harvest, winter programs where they have to harvest, you know, this type of thing, so they can understand that where our food comes from and how important it is. And these are the type of ideas we want to deal with. But the first thing, brothers, is education.
Okay.
Education.
I have to agree wholeheartedly. So we're talking about building our own schools, supplying our own schools with our own education agenda. Am I right in assuming that that's what you're talking about?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the reason I think that's a good idea is because that's what we need. We have to do that. That is a must. We're going to have to do that if we're going to be who we were born to be. We're going to have to do that. We got a lot of brothers and sisters across the country that are changing and beginning to do things a little bit differently now, and it's good. I'm doing things differently, you know, opposed to being a victim of circumstances. I've began to turn every situation around using what I know to deal with this country and how it's set up and its contracts and all of this stuff. So I wholeheartedly agree with you about that school system, and we got to start with the children. You know, for us to start setting up something, for us to go back and try to do something, all that's okay. But if we can start molding and shaping the young minds and preparing them for the future with a good solid foundation of self or their culture, their story, supreme mathematics and things from a correct standpoint, I think we can actually change the course of history as far as people of African descent inside this country is concerned.
So, right. One thing I definitely want to add is not just building a school, but building a school system where we're all on the same page, no matter if we're in Texas, if we're in Washington State, New York, Brooklyn, Jacksonville, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, we all have the same system. We have to get on the same page. You can, people can still keep their identities, the name, fancy titles, but we have to have, our agenda has to be similar, if not the same. So if we set up a school, we want the school, the same school that's going to push out great minds, not only here in Florida, but the same in Delaware, the same in North Carolina, the same in Virginia. We want the same thing. So we have to unify the efforts and get on the same page with that. It's the same thing if we go and open up a farmer's market. The farmer's market should be the same setup here, Virginia, everywhere. Everywhere that we decide we want to put something, it should be similar. It's a franchise. This is business.
Mm-hmm.
And so the business is going to affect how we live our lives. And so it's nothing more so than having our business corrected in our own future, in our own hands.
Okay. Well, I agree. I also think that they should be taught civics, law, a variety of subjects. We should create our own itinerary for education. And if we can have that reflected across the country, I think that'll be a good idea. And I believe it'll work. I mean, because it's so vital for us to understand that. I mean, the children are the future. You know, that's our future. We got to do something with them. I mean, we can't just continue to let our children just watch TV all day long, and you know, they're not accomplishing anything. They're not moving, not growing, and then taking them and putting them in a public school system, and hoping that by some hook or crook, if we spend enough money in that system, then our child will come out all right and be something.
Let me show you, for example, if we take a look at the Civil Rights Movement, which was the last so-called movement that Moors have had in the United States. Now, that movement was led by young people, is what they say. Dr.
Mm-hmm.
King was in his 20s, and they used college students to drive the cars, the Freedom Riders. They were very young, and a lot of them died for what they believed in.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a disconnection with the generation even behind them, because if you look at the Civil Rights Movement now, they're all 60 and 70. There's
mm-hmm.
a gap between them and me. You see, because
okay.
somewhere along the line, we didn't connect. We lost because after the 60s and they decided, oh, we can go and eat at the counters and ride the bus up front with the Europeans and boom, 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 I guess people got a what's the word I'm looking for? They got comfortable in their ways and their positions and their jobs. You know, they said they went in with machine guns and came out with suits and ties on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they basically forgot. I ain't going to say forgot, or basically everyone is just really a large mental assimilation into the United States dream and development. And so by doing that, there's a huge gap, space in between. We can't be responsible for that. We have to, if we know that gap exists, then we have to know that we have to create that bridge, even for them, our elders, and the bridge between us and the youth behind us. We have to have a bridge, three generations, and only the Moors can lead that, man. We got to lead that whole movement, and with our
okay.
efforts, it has to be a combined efforts, because they have a lot of information and experience that this particular generation doesn't have. This generation, they don't believe in marching, protesting, demonstrating. They think tweets and Facebooks and talking at the water fountain and the cubicles at the job is going to get the job done, but it's not going to do anything except what it did. Nothing. If you aren't active, if you aren't actually getting out there and doing something, dealing with the policymakers, talking to the families, getting involved, you can't. We're not doing anything. You understand? So it's just, you know, you become a victim of your own mess. Expecting
okay.
things to change, but if you don't put anything in, you're not going to get anything out.
Okay. I see I got a caller with his hand raised, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Area code 786. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Yes, sir. I'm Malik Elday, Miami-Dade County, Florida country.
Islam Mo.
Islam, peace and honor to you and your distinguished guest.
Okay.
I like the fact that, you know, what we're chiming on here tonight. I know it's very vital, very important, possible impact of what it's going excuse me, and what it's going to make on our community as a whole. You know, and this information definitely got to be protected, I understand, too, as well as for my enemy. Very vital. And my question is for all the ones that's possibly won't be able to make the summit of the Moors. It is possible that this information can be archived at a particular website,
excuse
or
me.
Can it be gotten from a DVD, a purchase from a DVD, et cetera, so, you know, that we can, you know, get this information and possibly bring to our local levels, areas, and implement it so we can manifest this thing into a reality. Islam,
brother. Now, what's your name,
brother? That's my end of question. See.
Okay.
I apologize. I'm getting phone calls, brother. I heard the impact aspect real quick for me, Chaka.
He says he wants to know for the Moors that can't make it.
Oh yeah. Okay.
To the summit, how is it that they can get a hold of to some of this information down on the grassroots level so they can implement it where they are, maybe on DVD, a website, or somewhere that they can go to get a hold of this after we commit to doing this?
Well, we're in conjunction working with the brother who has a website that has television shows on it to send attention to the website. And we're working on that right now. It's NBTV1. We're going to have it where you can subscribe to his channel and stream it live.
Okay.
But we will be recording for our own personal use, because there's going to be certain aspects of the summit will not be aired audio or visually. So the people for the Moors that are outside of the country, they will Skype in. We'll have it set up Skype for them, but it'll be like the week of. We'll have the information out. Just stay in contact on the website. We'll have the links. Everything will be up. And we appreciate your efforts, brother. Just stay in contact with us and try to make the next one. It's best. It's really important for people to be here in person. For the next one, it's in August. Right after this one, we'll be promoting the August aspect, but there'll be support groups going on for what's taking place from January leading all the way up to August. And we ask that people just try to make it in person. And once we get Florida set up, then we will take it to different states so the states can have their own perspective of the summit economically. And what you'll be looking at is you'll be looking at whatever we're going to call it once we leave out of the summit. Because it's not going to be called the summit once we leave out. It's going to be a plan of action, and it's going to be called something else. And once we initiate that in Florida and get it working, we initiate it throughout the country, throughout the world. It's a slow process. It's methodical. We have minds. We have great minds in it, coming in it. And we don't see anything but success. And so if the brothers and sisters that are working on the Moorish government, if it ever jumps off, the Department of Commerce already be operating. And I'm like this. I'm not a lawmaker. I'm thinking like Rockefeller said, was it Rothschild? You make the laws, I make the money. In the meantime, while they're doing the laws and everything else that we abide by, then we'll deal with the stuff that that keeps us fed, food, clothing, shelter, and some other things. So that's what it is, brother. We had a website up, and we have Skype information for those who are outside of the country.
Okay, brother, does that answer your question?
Yes, indeed. That's very informative. I appreciate that. You know, in order to change the people thinking, we've got to change that literature, that's for sure, and implement it on a standard national, nationwide level. Thanks a lot, brother.
You're welcome. Okay. This is definitely a paradigm shift, brother. This isn't a... First of all, it's a paradigm shift. Let me just put it like that. This isn't the regular, let's get together and talk. We can do that all day long. You can go on YouTube and do that. You can watch them talk all day long. This is about rolling your sleeves up. You know, if we got that farmland, we got them houses need to be built, we figure out a way to get it done and do it.
Okay. Well, let me open up this next line. Area code 954. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
This is Janet Wigley from Miami, Florida. Good afternoon,
Janet.
Brothers. How are you doing?
Good.
Hi, brother. My question is, as far as the school is concerned, what would be the cost approximately for the kids attending the school?
Be honest with you, I have not come up with numbers. I'm not trying to be the guy with all the answers. That's why I'm calling the family together. There are people more qualified than I, so we just have to get in the room, put it on the table, and come up with projected figures on what it's going to take for this school, whether it's going to be free or we scholarship, you know, that type of
number. Okay. Okay, that's
good. Are you in Miami? I know you're going to make that 5-hour trip, right?
Oh, I definitely want to try. I will try.
No. I would take that as a no. You ain't coming.
Okay.
No, don't
take it as a no. I'm coming. I'll be there.
Do I need to send mega bus down?
Write my name down so that I could come directly to you. I will be there.
Are you in the chat
room
right now?
Wiggly. No.
Okay. Janet, what?
Wigley, W-I-G-L-E-Y.
Okay. Thank you, sister. We need some more sisters. Okay. We expect you
Thank
to come.
Thank you. I will be
right
there. Thanks.
All right, sister.
Okay, Janet.
All right.
Okay. Now, what I want to do when I get to the summit is I want to actually show the brothers and sisters the paperwork and how to use it and how to enforce their positions when they're doing things to free up a lot of things that they're doing and is going on. I got another caller coming in at this area code. I'm going to open up the line. Area code 269, could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Yes, sir. Peace. My name is Mattu, calling out of Michigan.
Okay, Mattu.
Question. Yes, sir. Is it open? First, is it open to like the public or this meeting?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
It's open. It's definitely open to the public.
Okay. Some type of organizing committee that's kind of spearheading what the agenda is for that day? Is that already put together?
Yes, it's put together.
Oh, okay. Where can you find that at?
At the summit when you get there, brother. The agenda will be at the summit.
You know, we decided to because see we're dealing with a an operation that we have to protect, and so see this is why one of the reasons why we made it a workshop. See, this is not just something where you come to just hold a conversation. These are the nuts and bolts of wiggle pins of getting the job done. Actually. Physically get some things accomplished across the country, and we can go ahead and get here and take a look at this thing. Then we can actually implement it. And it is a free event. The only thing that we're asking the brothers and sisters to do, if you would go to the website, I don't know if you got your chat room open, www.dialosakul.com, and register there, and so that we will know that you are coming, and you will be participating in there.
Brother, okay. Michigan, it's very professional, and the bottom line is cooperative economics.
Okay. All right. That's good. If someone just wanted to make like a donation towards helping the effort, maybe people that can't make it, do y'all take in like donations? Y'all need anything? Or?
We'll take donations. If you could email me.
Okay. What's that?
DIALLOSEKOU. 1@gmail.com.
Let me say, brother, it's really a good thing, man, to see, like you said, it's really time for a paradigm shift, and I think, you know, the momentum is there for us to hone in, quit all this damn talking.
Bottom line.
Let's try to get these economics together. So I think it's a good idea. Won't be able to make it out. We'll try to get a donation down there just to, you know, just to support it, man. It's just good to see, you know, all of the minds, you know, starting to, you know, hone in on where we need to be focused, and I think that's, you know, that's what it's going to take. So,
thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Okay. Yep. Peace.
All right. Peace, brother. Okay. Diallo, I'm going to take another quick break, and when we come back, then we can continue on with what we are discussing. And ladies and gentlemen, y'all, hold on. You're welcome, and we thank you for coming out to the introduction to Summit of the Moors. So y'all sit tight. We'll be right back with you, okay?
Run open, you are my teeth is my teeth and my gum is my gum. Timmy, Tim, Timmer, my tummy, Tum, Tum. Bitter to the belly, what is sweet to the tongue? Like a little girl, she a run up and down.
One cup of coffee, then I go. One cup of coffee, then I go.
How you go?
One cup of coffee, then I go. One cup of coffee, then I go. Then I brought some money, like your lawyer said to do. Ain't nothing funny.
Ragamuffin, this is now Junior Gang. Telling every woman, praying on for them. And I say, love him, give him something strong. Thank him, that better you make him galang. Love him to the last furlong. Thank him, that him will take a next woman. I say, love him, give him something.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're discussing the introduction to the Morris Summit coming January the 12th through the 13th right here at 1625 North Pearl Street, Masjid El Salam's bookstore. And we're just trying to give you some insight of what will be going on in the what this is all about, and how you all can benefit and participate in something that's going to benefit you more from one end of America to the other. We are dead serious about this thing, and this is not just a fly-by-nighter. This is actually a workshop where we're going to get some things down on the table. One other thing that I was about to say, brother, before we went to the other caller, I want to bring some of the actual tools in to show the Moors the tools that we're using here in the city. In fact, I just used some the other day. I went to a service station and to get gas. And when I put my little card in the gas pump to do it by credit card, I purchased $25 worth of gas. The receipt printed out $25 worth of gas. However, my phone is set up to register every purchase and give me an indication that the purchase has been made. But when I looked at the phone, the account had been debited for $57.71. So now we have a problem. So I went inside and talked to the clerk, and I told him that I needed him to give me my money back. He said he couldn't do that. And so I got his information, got the company information, got the petroleum company and all of that stuff. And I contacted them by phone and gave me the phone number. And they told me that I couldn't speak to the president of the company. And but they had my number, and they would try to get back with me in the future. However, I had enough information to do what I had to do. So I went on to the house. As soon as I got there, I got a phone call from their attorney. They wanted to know what happened. I explained it to them, and I also explained to them that while I was there, there were other people coming in saying that the same thing had happened to them. So I said, well, what I will do is I will send you a letter explaining the whole situation to you, and we can see how we can sell it then this way. So what I did was I went inside my library and crunk out an affidavit and attached about 4 points to them for about $12,000 and $4,000 per point in damages. We're asking for $4,000 for racketeering, $4,000 for theft, and $4,000 for fraud, and send that to them, give them 10 days to respond. And so when they respond, there's no. If they don't respond, of course, we're gonna either way it go, we're gonna take it all the way out and follow the entire administrative process until we get what we want. Either we go inside the court and set it up as a class action or whatever we have to do. But I want to show the Moors how to stop these people from just running over you and just being a victim of circumstances, and actually what steps to take and how to go through the whole process of getting things done when it comes to law. And that's part of my contribution in at the summit. And I want to bring the paperwork in and so they can put it in their hands, see what it looked like, and explain it to them step by step until we clearly understand how to do this, and opposed to just letting things go. Same thing with your traffic stops. Same thing with your bill collectors, what to give your mortgage company, how to deal with that, because we've been dealing with all of that successfully over and over and over, and the stuff that we're using is working. So I want to make sure that everybody have access to this. One other question that I wanted to ask you, and keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, if you got any questions or comments, now's the time to get your questions answered. Go ahead and raise your hand. I recognize them, and we'll open up the line, and you can say your piece. I also wanted to say that I found out that it is very, very important because I've talked to a lot of young people who are having problems and stuff with not necessarily a whole lot of bill collectors, but a law enforcement. And so I want to teach them how to handle themselves when they're out there in the street and stuff. And that's also what I want to discuss in regards to the children at the summit as well. You got anything else you want to add?
I just we can hold up the floor. Let's get we get our guests in somehow.
I didn't hear what you said. Now, will you repeat that?
I said we can go ahead and open up the floor. Let's try and get some of our guests in.
Okay. Well, look. Well, the lines are open now, and I don't see any new lines. If you got a number already on the line and I haven't called it, just go ahead and go out and come back in and that'll let me know that you're in. But the line is already open for the guests, and
okay.
I need them to raise their hand so that I can open up the line and let them in.
How do you raise your hand, brother?
All they got to do is just follow the props on the phone. If you don't speak to the host, just press one, and they're in there.
Okay.
I'm looking at the switchboard. I can tell when they're in.
On the police thing, man, that's real important, especially being here in Florida territory. We're dealing with an old wicked beast here, man. We can go from the school to prison pipeline that I'm definitely got my feet in right now. The other thing is definitely these brothers and sisters out here driving around. Most of these stops, they're stopping because they're nationally profiling, profiling, not race profiling, but nationality. Don't have your head wrapped up because you're gonna get stopped depending where you're at. What part of the country?
That's the latest thing now.
We got one thing is we have to know who we are, and we have to know exactly who these people are. They are peace officers. We have to know what their role is exactly. And so if they come up with any resistance, we know how to deal with them swiftly, get it done.
Yeah, absolutely correct. I had a success story out of Chicago. On previous broadcasts that we were specifically dealing with that. And matter of fact, I've had more than one, and both of these success stories ended up in massive lawsuits, one against the school board and one against the sheriff's department. I got a couple going now, one with the sheriff here in Jacksonville, and when I got on him, he took it and turned it over to a law firm. But what I did with them is jumped on them too. So we got two of them standing on the outside, and they can't answer the points in the affidavit because all of them come straight out the Supreme Court, and they can't be refuted. So we're going to go and follow that process on out. But as far as the brother up in Chicago, him and his wife, and they had two little young children in the car. And I had told him, I say now, because he told me that the cops were real bad up there. And I said, well, what you do is go to the little spy shop and get you one of those little miniature audio and video cameras. I did the same thing for this other young lady and her man and wife and their daughter at school. And put that thing inside the automobile. You might want to hang it up on your windshield or get your little dash cam or either make sure you put one around your neck. You can wear it small enough to put on your keychain or attach it to the passenger's door so that you can see, capture the video and audio or whatever, whoever is approaching your automobile in the event that they don't want to give you the name or whatever. You'll have some type of evidence to present. So the cops pull them over. And the guy, he went through the verbal spiel and stuff, and the cop, he didn't want to go along with it. He asked him for a driver's license, told him to have one. He got exercised the right to travel, and he gave him identification. And the cop said, well, I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the car. He said, well, I can't do that, because if I do that, then I'll be volunteering to be kidnapped and abducted. And so the cop said, well, if you don't step out, I'm going to take you out. He said, well, sir, you have to do that because I can't open the door and volunteer for abduction or kidnapping. So the cop reached in, opened the door, grabbed him, slung him out on the ground and all that. And all this right here was captured on audio and on the video. So, and then upset his wife and everything, and said they took him to jail. And I asked him what time of day it was. He said it was before 5 o'clock. I said, well, roughly what time during the day? He said, probably about 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I said, well, okay. So now he had plenty of time to take you to a magistrate's office. He didn't take you there. He took you straight to jail. He said, that's right. I said, okay, so now we have aggravated kidnapping because he bypassed the magistrate's office, and the fact that he had a weapon on the side, we have attempted murder. I said, now, at this point, once you hit the jail, everybody that touches you in there becomes sticks to you. It's called the tar baby syndrome. So you got a lawsuit against the entire jail. That officer, you start placing liens and stuff, and go ahead and take your audio and video and upload it to a disc, put it on DVD disc, and a copy to the mayor, send a copy to the sheriff, and send one to the governor of the state, and let them know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars that you're asking for. And let them know that you're prepared to go to the media, send a complete listing of the magazines, television networks, and stuff that you'll be sending a copy of that thing to. Go ahead and buy you a pack of 100 DVD discs, blank discs, and go ahead and start cranking them out and getting them ready and packaged up to get out there. And he said that they contacted him, and they want to try to settle this thing on the table there. They'll give him some money. They want to keep it out of the media. You know, they just need to know what he's asking for. And the same thing happened with the lady school board. See, one thing that you discover is there was an old saying that when a cop stops you out there on the road, you're actually in court at that particular time because you was born with that birth certificate, and that is a trust. And you're the only one that can occupy the executive office of that trust or the primary shareholder of that trust. But if you allow someone else to step in their shoes, and that's what the cop is attempting to do, because he's a public servant, he's a public trustee, but you had to let him know that you are the primary shareholder of the trust. When you walk in the courtroom to call your name out, you just say, hey, look, I'm answering to that. I'm the primary shareholder of the trust. That's actually the end right there, because they've been assuming your office. So we learn how to do these things and get in position, and if they still want to violate us, then we got them right there. They, you know, just go ahead and follow a little administrative procedure. Go ahead and crank it on out. You got your evidence right there. If you get the court transcripts, you get your audio and video, because if there's no evidence, there's no case, and make sure you got plenty of it. You can get some witnesses that will agree to testify. You got them. And they might try to move it around in the court, but if you know your civil and federal and state procedures, you can keep them from putting it where they want to go. You put it where you want to go. But it's all in the educational process. Now, the last two that stopped me, they asked for driver's license. And I said, well, look, you asked me for property belonging to the state. You asked me for something that belonged to someone else. I said, I'm not driving. I'm exercising freedom of right to drive. He said, you are driving. I'm looking at you. I said, well, tell me what company is paying me to drive. Because that's the only person that's supposed to be have a driver's license, someone that's getting paid to drive. according to the Supreme Court. So, well, Florida law, said, wait, watch it. Now, we messing up now. See, we confusing statutes and ordinances with law. I thought statutes and ordinances say that they were statutes and ordinances. They didn't say it was law. And by the time I got through explaining briefly what law was and how it went and everything, and at the time they stopped me, I was on the way to the post office to send affidavits to the sheriff and his law firm at the time they stopped me. So I had the information ready in the car for him to see it. He said, well, I'm looking in the computer, and you got tickets down here that you haven't paid. I said, I got the same thing in my trunk. Let me see what you got. So I opened up the trunk. I got the paper out, and we and him got side by side at the computer. I said, now, you see them tickets on that computer? I said, them the same ticket numbers right there, ain't it? He said, yes, they are. I said, now, ask yourself a question. Why would your boss, and y'all got all the guns and badges, and I ain't paid none of these tickets, why he ain't just send y'all to my house to arrest me if I was wrong? Why would he take these tickets of me and turn it over to this law firm? Ain't this the law firm right here? Yeah. Well, I don't understand none of it, and I just do what my supervisor says. I said, okay. I said, well, I tell you right now, your boss is going to get sued. Well, I'm not a part of that there. I said, I know you're not a part of that. I said, you writing the ticket? No, I ain't writing the ticket. He's writing it. I said, okay. So when you follow through on these things, and now what they're doing now is now that he's gotten the affidavit that he can't answer, what he's done is the same thing that he did the last time they stopped me when I was driving my truck and I put the Morris Place on there. Me and the popo ride down the street. They don't stop me no more. They turn left, I turn right. They go about their business because if they're just like bullies. If a bully is constantly bullying you, if you don't knock him out, he don't keep on doing it. And so now they know that we're traveling in a different automobile. So now they'll pull up behind and they'll read the plates and they'll back off. Going about the business, but they ain't cutting no lights on something. I stop them because they trying to see what's going to happen after the first time they did it. And we're going all the way. We're going to go ahead and send them a notice of default with opportunity to cure. Then we're going to send a notice of default with dishonor because it can't happen after the affidavit. The Supreme Court done already ruled, and I got over 21 points in there with the rulings. What do you want to have? He can't. You have to give me what I want. So if we learn and implement what we learn, and what I want to do is I want to bring the information and put it on the table and explain it and show you how you can do this. It's not an argument. You're not entering into a debate. You're not trying to fight against nobody. You ain't raising your voice because if you know what to do and how to do it, you just do what you got to do. Based on what you know.
Right.
And so that's what I wanted to say about that.
Okay.
I don't live in any fear of them cutting the lights on, you know, when they come up behind me because they got a point now. They pull up and they just once they get up and read, then they back up. And it's
right.
A regular tag, but they don't. They don't want to stop the car because the sheriff is already on total and don't stop them. Now, the first time I did that, I ride downtown and park them right in front of the store in front of the meter. Don't put no money in it. Go stay as long as I want to come out there. Don't be no ticket on that. Get in it, go on about my business all over downtown. Meter maid pull up behind it and look and see it. Don't know how to write it up. And call down there to the sheriff. The sheriff said, oh, no. That's that guy, Tahaka. Pass on by that one. Go on to the next one. Don't put no ticket on me. Now, that guy that says some stuff down here, we don't know what he's going to do to us. Leave him alone. So it's not complicated. But the only thing is now, once you get them off you, then as far as I'm concerned, it ain't no fun no more. So I used to, you know, they cut the lights on. I said, boy, I got them there. And but now it is. Shoot, oh, I'm cutting no lights on. Add that LC.
Yeah. Well, see, you already up on it, Tahaka. I think with a lot of people that have similar issues, they want a quick remedy versus being educated.
No. You can't get around the education part. That's right. Ain't no quick fix with this. You had to know. When you go in that courthouse, you gonna have to know. When that man call your name, if you answer to that name, you already gave up your office and don't put him in it. But if he matter of fact, I tell you what, I'm gonna run a little quick clip right here and show you exactly what I'm talking about. I'm gonna show you exactly what I'm talking about. And so y'all hold on a minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna go into this a little quick clip here in just a second.
Islam, Hotel, Barigani. What's happening in peace? January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, we will have Summit of the Moors. This is a collective effort to bring about economic security that is a great opportunity for our people to forecast their own future, beginning with a collective approach that can benefit all. The educators, the speakers are all diverse to represent the people who are also diverse in their ideologies. On deck, we have Kadara Bey, Dr. Aileen Bey, Julani Bey, Tahaka Amina L. Bey, Abundance Child, Sundiata L., Daraya Bey, the Federation of Southern Cooperative, German Shannon L., Sharif Noble, and myself, Asar Dalo Saku Abur L. Topics will be food security, such things as aquaponics, gold and silver purchasing, technology, cooperative application, the administrative process, and lots more. We also have what's called private side sessions. These sessions will not be recorded, any recording, audio, or visual for the public. You have to be in person in order to get these jewels. And we also have some special guests who didn't want to be advertised that will come and drop more information. I'm urging everyone to go to www.dalosaku.com and register. This is free. This is a free event. It is www.dalosaku.com. DialoSekou.com. January 12th through the 13th, Jacksonville, Florida, Summit of the Moors. Peace.
Okay, hold on a second.
All right, greetings and salutations, my fellow YouTubian nation. This is Chris, and I hope you've enjoyed your day or are about to enjoy your day. All right, I've been learning a lot recently. I primarily have to say I have to thank my father for this, because of what happened with his death, I've had a lot of time to think. I could have dealt into depression and things like that, but I've always been one of those people. You turn something good out of something bad. So I started with the free time I had in between, you know, going to the funerals and organizing paperwork and stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of productive things with my free time. One of the things I'll get into in another video. Primarily, I've been studying trust law. And it's actually very easy once you learn the basics of it. And I just want to let people know I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not trying to give legal advice. I can only talk for my own country, United States of America Corporation. If you don't live in the United States of America Corporation, you first may drop your cell phone. Let me just make sure this works. See what happens. Yep, still working. All right. So as I was saying, if you live in another country, your laws may be different, so you might want to check into them. But pretty much from what I'm assuming, a lot of the primary laws are the same. It all starts out with God's law. Now, whether you want to believe in God or not is irrelevant. And again, I'm going to talk just about the United States of America Corporation. I'm not going to talk anywhere else. You would have to verify in your own country, so keep that in mind. But if you see everywhere, it has to do with God's law. In other words, in God we trust. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Okay, it's even in the Declaration of Independence. The word God is used in several accounts of law. So our laws are based on God's law. Whether, again, you believe in God or not is irrelevant. That's what the laws are based on. So that's what we have to follow. According to God's law, God created man. Whether you, again, you know, anyway, you should understand that. God created man. Man was given dominion over the earth. So he was free to roam the earth and to be able to do whatever they wanted, provided you were not infringing on somebody else's rights. So in other words, if you weren't stealing from somebody, you weren't trying to kill somebody, as long as you weren't trying to harm somebody, you were free to do whatever you wanted. Well, man at some point, for whatever reason, got corrupt and got greedy and started keeping us from God's law and started creating man's law or common law. And it is separate and different from the God's law that man was supposed to abide by. And it all has to do with corruption and money. Unfortunately, that's what everything always boils down to, is money. How things are started. A trust is what happens every time some situation is occurring when it has to do with law. In other words, if you're selling a property, if you are opening a bank account, if you are creating a will and testament, for example, even a traffic ticket, they all create a trust that is involved in that moment. Now, how do you know what roles to play? Well, knowledge is very important when it comes to law. And you'll hear the term, ignorance is no excuse of the law. And this could be very helpful or very painfully troublesome to you if you do not become familiar with law. Now, there's a difference between legal and law. And that is up to you to figure out. But a trust is created every time, including your birth. Now, they use symbols to indicate what something is. Like, for example, and again, I can't speak for any other country, if you see a red octagon-shaped sign at an intersection, even if it didn't have words in it, what would that signify? Well, that would be a stop sign, wouldn't it? And even, again, if it's supposed to say the word stop, but if it, even if it didn't have it, you would know to stop at that particular intersection because of that symbol. So even all the way back to the Roman and Greek empires, especially the Roman empires, they used symbols to quickly determine what something was. Now, your name in all capital letters is a sign. It signifies that that particular item in all capital letters is a what they call a lawful fictional entity. It's a corporation. It doesn't exist. It's your legal person. And you will notice it on your birth certificate. You will notice it on your driver's license or any government form, marriage license, etc. Now, the trick is when you're born, your parents bring you and you get a receipt of birth, otherwise known as your birth certificate. And you'll see your name in all corporate letters. That is a trust that starts. Now, the way it's supposed to work is there is the grantor, which is your parents, the beneficiary, which is the person that benefits from the trust, that is you, because you benefit from being who you are, and then the government is the trustee. In other words, they are there to take care of you. Now, if you do not know the roles, ignorance is no excuse of the law. And things in law have to do with presumptions. And a lot of it has to do with telling people who you are. Now, if you want to learn this in better detail than what I can provide from somebody that's done it a lot longer than me, one of the people I recommend on YouTube, his name is Dean Clifford, D-E-A-N, and then Clifford, C-L-I-F-F-O-R-D. I learned a lot from him, so I highly recommend his videos. When I get home, I will place that in the information box, and you just search that name up on YouTube. Very long, but very worth it. So when you create that trust, according to God's law, man is supposed to roam freely on the earth. So everything has been paid for in advance under your corporation. They just don't tell you about this. They create a trust in your name. Now, if you want to think of a trust, because corporate law, corporate trust, is the same as the trust that I'm speaking of. Because let's just say, for an example, you're about to create a movie. Now, there are three parts to making a movie. You'll have the director. The director is the person that's in charge of directing the movie. Okay, so in trust law or corporate law, it would be the executor or the administrator. because they are making the executive decision. They are administrating. So they, in other words, they're telling people what to do. So think of it that way. The director of the movie is the director, or, like I said, the administrator. Now, he would have employees. The employees would be the trustees. In other words, they are in charge of making the movie, but they have to do what the director tells them. Otherwise, you'll get fired. So employees would be like the people who work the camera, the actors, you know, the hairstylists, anybody that works under the director has to do what the director tells them. Now, there's a third part to this trust. That is the shareholders. They are what's called the beneficiaries. In other words, they're investing money in this movie to benefit from it and make some kind of money. Now, a director can tell a trustee what to do, but a beneficiary can tell the director and administrator what to do. For example, if, let's say, the director, let's say you're directing Spider-Man 12, and the director is always coming in late, he's drunk, or he argues with the people, and nothing's getting done, you as the primary shareholders can fire that director if he is not giving you the benefit that you are entitled to in this trust. So a beneficiary of a trust can allocate or get rid of a administrator. An administrator can fire an employee. In other words, let's say the employee comes in late all the time, or the actor just doesn't want to listen to direction. Well, that actor or that employee can get fired by the director. The trustee or the employee cannot tell the director what to do and cannot tell the shareholders what to do. So they are the least powerful in the entire sequence of situations. The director has the power, but the beneficiary can tell what the director can and can't do. They can fire them or replace them. Okay? So you don't want to be the trustee when it comes to corporate law or trust law, because if you are the trustee, you have to do what the administrator tells you to do. It's just like being an employee and your boss tells you what to do. Well, you could refuse to do it, but what will happen? You'll get fired. If you steal from the company, guess what? You're getting arrested. You have no say in it. So the last person you want to be when you go to court is the trustee, because you have to do what the administrator tells you. Now, there's a thing in law called compliance. Compliance means you agree with something or you disagree with something. Now, there's a third way. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. When you comply, you only agree, or you can be silent. If you disagree, you're not complying, so forgive me on that. I apologize. But here's the thing about silence. I'll give you a prime example. And I put things with examples because it makes things a lot easier for you to understand them. Let's say you're at a dinner table, and there's about five of you. And you're all sitting there. You're all taking your food. You're getting everything, and you're eating dessert now. And there's one last cookie left on the table. Now, if I was one of the five people and I said, I'm going to take that last cookie, people can either say, no, I want it, or yes, you can have it, or they could say nothing. If all the other four people decide to say nothing, they have not contested my claim, which is the same as them saying, yes, it's yours. So if I say, I'm going to take that cookie, and nobody else says anything, I have, according to the law, the legal right to take that cookie. Because no one has said you can't have it. Or they didn't say, oh, we should share it. They complied through silence. So that's where they take advantage of you in the court of law. Because in the court of law, the reason that the judge has the power to tell you what to do is because when you are notified in court, or you are asked who you are, if you just say your name, let's say your name is Joe Smith, well, who do they care who Joe Smith is in this? Like, for example, if you walked into it, let's go back to the movie reference. They're having a business meeting with the shareholders, and they're talking about what's going on in the movie. And you walk into that meeting, and they say, well, who are you? Well, I'm John. They'll be like, who the fuck are you? John who? Get out of here. We don't need you. You haven't signified anything about what you represent. You just said a name. But if you go in there again, and they say, well, who are you? And you say, I'm John Smith. I am the primary shareholder of this movie. Well, guess what? Well, welcome in, sir.
come on in. Tell us what you think. You've established who you are. And in law, because it has to do with, you have to announce who you are. Because if you don't, they will assume the roles of administrator and beneficiary. Now, you can be...
Okay. Now, you see what the little guy said?
Right.
Now, when you out there on the street and cop pull you over, he asks you for a driver's license. Now, it is at that point that is who gonna sue an officer? Because if you give him a driver's license, he's just like, okay, if let's say that your next door neighbor gave you his bicycle and say, I need you to keep this bicycle for me. And I come along and I say, Diallo, I need to get that bicycle from you.
Right.
I need to get that bicycle from you. And I'm asking you for something that belongs to somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't give me somebody else's property. That wouldn't be right now, would it? So
right.
when a cop stops you and he asks you for a driver's license, he asking you for property of the state. Now you don't have to believe me. Look on the back of the driver's license and see what it says. It clearly tells you it's property of the state. So when you give him the driver's license, you have just given up your executorship of the trust that you were born with. Right there, then and there on the spot. It's from then on there, and he's going to tell you how much you're going to have to pay him, he's going to arrest you, and all that. But now if he stops you, and what I give him, I'll give him a world passport, anything other than a driver's license, and I tell him I'm assuming the office of executive of the trust verbally right there on the spot, because this is what I'm going to follow up with no matter what he does. If he writes me a ticket, it ain't getting paid, and then we're going to make him put him in a position to never do that no more. I'm not going to let it go. I don't care if you tell me, well, the ticket, you know, it's only $75. Well, it's $75 that you ain't getting, and I got to make you understand that you're not dealing with one of the people who don't know. You're going to notice. So that's pretty much what happened. The same thing happened when you go in the courtroom. When you call that name and you say, you, Diallo Secure, and you jump up and you say, I'm going to state your name for the record. I'm Diallo Secure. It's Cayman Secure. We're going to have to fine you X amount of dollars. We're going to have to give you 6 months in jail or whatever. But now once you stand up and tell them, well, I'm here in regards to that matter, and I'm the primary shareholder of the trust. Now, at that point, the stenographer has put it on the record, and he's going to have to try to fight now to get in your office, because see now the natural law states that no two objects can occupy the same space at the same time. So if you occupy an office of executor, he has to occupy the office of our trustee. Now if he gets belligerent, you say, wait a minute, whoa, excuse me, aren't you a public servant? I said, well, I already told you I'm occupying the office of executor. And if you want to insist about the name, just say, now, wait a minute, the name is not important. We're talking about position here. We're talking about what office each one of us holds. Now, you are a member of the bar, you're a public servant. This guy standing over here is a public servant. This guy's over here is a public servant. The other guy standing back there with that badge on, he's a public servant too. All you guys are trustees. Now, that's when they're really going to get hot. But you can't let them occupy your office when you already occupy it. That's where you have to do that. And then if they want to do anything else, then you have to make sure that everybody else knows that we got a judge on the oath of office that's attempting to violate the office of the state.
Mm-hmm. Matt, Dad, one thing you got to understand, when we go inside a courtroom, the moment you do go into a courtroom, a trust is created. And you can look that up in your Black's Law Dictionary, constructive trust.
Mm-hmm.
Trust is created. And, you know, we can get to the point where you may not even have to get to the courtroom. with the great filings, and they understand who you are and your position. And when people go in a courtroom and say what you just said, those are really private matters, because what you're doing is you're invoking your private trust, and you're invoking an equitable jurisdiction. So people need to understand about the jurisdiction versus the at-law jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
When you start speaking about beneficiaries, trustees inside of a courtroom, you're invoking the trust. You know, I mean, you're invoking it, the equitable jurisdiction, or you're attempting to enforce it. So you have to have the correct tools to enforce it. You know, so it's, you know, I don't know if it always works the way most people like it to work with the oral thing, but the papers represents a symbolic and a proof of claim of who
mm-hmm.
and what you are and what your position is. And so these are just things that people need to know. And, you know, some of the things that we'll be speaking out definitely at the summit, because you got to understand what equity is. And a lot of our people have been failing because they've been dealing with the at-law court jurisdiction and have not invoked the equitable jurisdiction, which is built for human beings.
That's one reason, just like you said, a lot of people, they may not be as confident when it comes to talking to them. That's why it's so important for us to know who we are. But now, what I have a lot of people doing is, if you go ahead and do your will, and in the administrative portion of your will, go ahead and put your estate letter in there, put your notice of understanding and intent and claim of right, and attach a copy of the Declaration of Human Rights to that. And also, you want to put a judicial notice and proclamation of status, and file that into the court record as a deed. Now, if you got to go to court, go back down there and tell them to assign that to that case, and ask them if you can have it signed to the judge. Now, usually there's a fee for that. But what that does is put your will in his hand. So nine times out of ten, if he got that in his hand and it's done right, you'll be the last one, the last soul they get to in that court, because he ain't about to call you first, not with this right here, because he knows that you're about to assume that office. And if he may not have talked to you personally, but if he wants, he's going to make sure that if there's any fallout, it ain't gonna fall out on the rest of the people that they're taking advantage of it up in there. And I talk to Moors all across the United States, and when it says when it's time for them to go to court, they always the last one in the building. Everybody else in the center, everybody else out. And nine
right.
times out of ten, they come up out of there, but they're not going to allow you to show that you know what's going on and you know how to defend yourself, because they don't want everybody to learn how to do this. So if people would do that, they'd have some record down there on the court. If you want to go down and run your little ad after you get that down there, let them know that you have your will is officially on file now.
Yeah, to add to that, if no one knows anything about what you're saying, is it's going to sound like Chinese, okay?
That's what I'm saying. I'm bringing the documents so they can actually see them and make it elementary for them.
Let me add this. What mm-hmm. I recommend is a couple of books that you can read. Anybody listening, they can read these books on trust. One is C. Gilbert's book on trust.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand about what wills being in indentured and being able to pull into probate court. You can read Gibson's. And Chantry, and all these are on Google PDF files. But you got to understand relationships and how to segregate the relationships, primary and secondary relationships, when dealing with trusts and dealing with wills, when you're dealing with what the brother's talking about, which is enforcement inside the court system.
Mm-hmm. Well, now there's another book called Wise's Trust.
Right, good book.
That explain, and then you can also go on and Google the trustee handbook and glean a lot of information out of that as well. And there's information on wheels and stuff of that nature. You can go on YouTube and get information on the importance of having wheels and stuff. But if there's no evidence, there's no case. So you want to make sure for those who can't speak confidently to them. And it's just a matter of you occupying the offices and never allowing them to say anything to take you out of it. Because there have been people who have went in and did exactly what I said, and what happened is the cops would come into the courtroom. And this one guy said, excuse me, aren't these two gentlemen here public officials? And the judge don't say that. He said, well, look, I'm going to have to assume that they're public officials. And for the record, I demand as executor of the estate that they back away from me right now. Because, see, once you occupy an office, the judge, see, that automatically puts no two objects can occupy the same space at the same time. So he has to occupy the office of trustee as a public servant. He has to. Now, he can say, well, look, if you're not going to answer to the name, I'm going to issue a caper for the person's name on this that I just called out. Well, that's good. I'm glad you put that out there for the record, because I'm standing right here in front of you. So you go ahead and arrest that guy who you called out, because I'm the primary shareholder right here. And my time is up. Y'all have a nice day. But the main thing is, what do you do before you even go down there to keep from even going down there? So that's your administrative process. So that's what I would bring to the table, and want to show that. And for those who find themselves down there, then we can show them how to get out of that. Hold on one more second, brother.
My name, and then I grew older.
Okay, brother, I'm back.
Okay.
Now, we was talking about trust, and we was talking about the different books that the brothers and sisters can get a hold of, but there's a ton of information out there on trust and estate and wills and stuff that they can start studying, and because it regardless of what document you get, you have to know. I mean, there's a lot of brothers and sisters, you know, well, I need my document, you know, what kind of document can I file? Okay. If you're going to file a document, all that's well and good, but what I need to know from you is what do you know about the document that you're going to try to file? You know, I mean, you get up in a courtroom, like one brother, he had a mortgage document up in the courthouse and had on that all rights reserved without prejudice. The judge asked him, said, "Well, what do you mean by all rights reserved?" And the brother, he didn't know. And you know what I'm saying? So we got to stop looking for a shortcut, regardless of what document, whatever document you plan to put in. Well, at least be able to explain to somebody what it is, what it has the power to do. And a lot of brothers doing the estate letter. Got my archives. And they said, "I want you to look at this state letter, see if it's all right." And I'm gonna send it to the governor. I'm gonna send it to the. I said, "Well, okay. Well, tell me something." I said, "Because anytime I ever had anybody do the state letter, the first thing I told them to do is study the manual." "Oh yeah. I studied the manual." I said, "Well, tell me about this state. How that work?" "Well, you supposed to send it." No, I asked you who to send it to. I'm asking you to explain in detail to me everything about the document that you're attempting to use and get to somebody else." "Well, I ain't read everything, man." I said, "Well, call me back when you do." So they're looking for a document like that. They're looking for this magic bullet thing. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to know, and in order for you to know, you're going to have to read and study. And if you don't like to read, go find some videos on it. You're going to have to get it in your head so you'll know what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with a habeas corpus, well, what is it? If you're dealing with a notice of intent, well, what is it about? If you go do an affidavit, well, tell me all about an affidavit before you even try to get one to somebody.
Right.
And so when you have these things under your belt, then you can, right off the top of your head, without even doing any writing, do a verbal contract right there on the spot. And then after you do it, if the guy's refusing to do what you want him to do, then go ahead and put it in writing and serve it to him and give him an X amount of days to answer. Don't put it up under the affidavit. And but you have to know. There's absolutely no way around education. There is no way around it. And so on January the 12th and the 13th, right there on 1625 North Pearl Street, we're having Summit of the Moors. And we're going to be holding workshops so that you will know how to do these things, what tools to use, what the tools are about. If you're dealing with gold, if you're dealing with finance, if you're dealing with mortgages, we're going to have people there that are going to explain these things to you. And so that you will know, so that you will understand. And the show will be system whereby we will implement these things and use them across the United States. This is not just a somewhere for someone to come and just sit down and, "Ooh, man, that was a good meeting." No, you know, it's none of that. It's time for us to do something. You know what I'm saying? And I'm glad you are doing this thing, man. I'm glad when you came to me with it, man. I said, "Yeah, man, yes, that's right down my alley," because I'm a doer. You know,
right.
I have
gotta be active.
Yeah,
be active, not passive.
You can't. One thing I found out: you can study all day long, but when you get out there on that pavement, you're going to. That's where you. That's where you. Where you get into the real school. Because I had studied. The only when I started out, I didn't have nothing but DVDs and some books. And I would look at the DVDs over and over and over and over. Cause I got TVs in the house, but ain't no channels on them. I can't cut on the news. Cause I ain't got no TV. I mean, I don't nothing come on there unless I put something on there. And so this is what I do. And now, as a result of investing in that particular situation that way, now I'm able to deal with any situation come up, especially when it comes to law. You know, I get on the pavement, I'm not going to argue with them. You know, if I ain't got myself together, if I don't mess around and left the house and I ain't got no ID, and ain't got no driving law, that man said, well, look, I'm going to have to take you to jail. Whoop, got to go. I slipped. But now if I'm out there and I got my credentials and stuff so I can show them something, I got something to work with, because the last two officers stopped me and said, well, Lou, you want to write your ticket? I said, that's okay, that's okay. And I'm not after you. I said, I'm after your boss. So I took the tickets, made copies of them. I took a picture of my passport, attached a copy of the Declaration of Human Rights to it, and put that estate letter on there, put a 21-point affidavit on there, sent one to the sheriff. And I've been waiting on them to respond. I ain't heard from him yet, so I got to follow on through and let him know how much it's going to cost me for his boys to stop me. And so I know you done already told him, look, he driving another car now, don't stop him. Maybe this will go away. It ain't going to go away. But, you know, when you study, then it becomes easy. And you're able to do it, but Moore's, the documents, all this getting the documents, and I file this here, and I file that, and I file this avernment, and I file for the 1088 or the 1002, and all this right here, and the other one, I file the affidavit. They can't spell affidavit. That we have a problem. We're gonna have to know. That's just the bottom line. You're gonna have to know this stuff in order to implement it and make it a reality in your life. Because these people, your bill collectors ain't playing. The people that got your mortgage, they ain't playing. The police and the sheriff and all that. This is how these people make their living, by robbing you. They're actually highwaymen. They're in your community. They got a little camera shining down the street. And they instead of pulling people over, telling them how much money they're going to pay, robbery. They just robbery. And they've been robbing us so long that we think it's normal. I got to go out there and renew my driving license. I said, you ain't got no driving license. That's probably the other state. I got to get my tag. I said, that's your tag. It belongs to the state. You know, wake up and start, you know, these people. And I mean, they just raise it high and high. I remember when you could, they charge you what it was, $50 coat cost. Anytime a case, you pay that little $50. But now, they're up to $500 for coat calls on people, man.
Wow.
And then if you don't pay it, then they already occupying the office, so you get that up. So you just out there. They send a bunch of goons to the house, bring them down here and change it. I got my. And you go pay this in, they lock you up and let you out. Then you go hustling and say, man, I got to get that money, man. I got to go ahead and pay that, man. I don't want the people locking me up no more, man. Well, I tell you what, instead of doing all the right and supposed to give him $500, why don't you stop off at the bookstore and pay $5 for a book and learn how to get them off you. That's what I do. They ride by me sometimes. I be standing in front of how they ride by me and look over there. I said, boo. Come on, Will. Anyway, when you know, and you know that you know, then you can do some things. But if you don't study, you can file all the documents you want. Because every document you file, you're going to have to be able to defend it. And if you don't know anything about it, you can't defend it. So I'm looking forward to seeing the all the brothers and sisters coming out on the 12th and 13th so that we can meet them and we can get down with this thing. And also, you guys need to go over to www.dialosekou.com.
Also, for the people that's coming, bring your laptops, bring your jump drives, let's take notes. We're going to work. It's 2 days, all day, and it's all night till you can't work no more. We got to go back to being industrial people. That's what it is. Yeah, they got you off the plantation the first time and sent you up north. Then it came back and took over the plantation, started growing everything, control all the foods now. So at least one thing we can do, get back into the food game. And we want to bring the families together that have the properties, that have land with food on the distribution. Just take, for example, once we take over or once we implement city plots and we make a community garden, and then we take, let's just say, mushrooms, that the brother Sundiata will be explaining with aquaponics and everything else. We take the mushroom, one product out of many that we're growing in the different areas over the up and down the east or west coast, wherever, and we manufacture them. We distribute them to our own stores, and we also wholesale them to Whole Foods, Winn-Dixie, Publix, Piggly Wiggly, whatever, Kroger, whatever you have. Not what we just did. We created jobs instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Created commerce, soft mushrooms. You see what I'm saying? Not to mention
right.
Apple, not to mention herbs, not to mention creating, you know, your jams or whatever you can create from the gardens, man, from the farm. But we just got to get, this is just a bare idea. But this isn't including, like, some of the black farmers that will be there in the meeting. And some of the one brother who will be bringing the technology on how to save gas, he'll be Skyping in from Haiti, or he'll be there in person. So we have to have technology. We have to have we got to be on the future, man. We can't be on that. We can't build the shoulders off our ancestors' ashes. We got to come raise up out the ashes like the Phoenix. You understand? It's the only way empires are made. We have to build things that are sustainable and that will hold us in place long after we're gone.
That's right. I got one more call in. I'm going to open up the line. 818, tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment. Area code 818. Can't hear you. 818. Cannot hear you. Okay, I'm gonna have to cut that off. I can't hear none of that. But anyway, brother, we got about 10 more minutes left, and so I certainly appreciate you coming on here so we can get this word out and let the brothers and sisters know where it's happening at, and the vital, it is vital for them to attend. We're looking for the public to be there. We're asking you to register at www.dialosekou.com and go ahead and fill out the little registration form, and everybody that's coming, just go ahead and put that information in there so that we can know who's coming, and that way that we are able to have an idea of the amount of people that we know that's coming, because we got people that's coming in from across the United States to teach this stuff, and Brother Diallo will be there, I will be there, Bonus Child and Dr. Aleem Bay will be there, and quite a few others will be there. And so this will be quite an event. It will start at 11 a.m. in the morning, and there will be breaks in between. However, it won't end until 8 p.m. So, thing on you, you bring your laptops and stuff with you so that you can glean this information and carry it away so you can actually do something with it. This is not just another meeting. This is a summit, and what we are going to do is that actually put some things together to be implemented and to be used and to affect this country in a mighty way. And this is it. And this is a golden opportunity for us. You know, I mean, this is ours. There's a, you know, we've been saying we don't have anything. So now here's an opportunity for you to have something. So we're looking for everybody's participation. Those of you who are out there here in, right here in Jacksonville, Florida, we look to see you at the Summit of the Moors on January the 12th and the 13th. Now, on that Saturday from 11 a.m. With breaks in between all the way up until 8 p.m., and then Sunday that'll be 11 a.m. All the way up to 7 p.m. at 1625 North Pearl Street, Masjid El Salam's bookstore, run by Brother Umar Sharif. He'll be there as well. So also I want to make mention of the fact that here on my broadcast live, Dr. Scott Whitaker will be here on the 5th. That's day after tomorrow. So make sure you tune in. And so if you got ailments, if you want to talk to a doctor about any medical problem, we have a doctor that will actually be here. So you'll get a chance to talk to the doctor. It's not going to cost you anything to do that. Just dial into the broadcast at 310-982-4184, and you get a chance to talk to Dr. Scott Whitaker live. I just ask you to just whenever you dial in, make sure there's no background noise so that you can actually hear what the guy's saying, and everybody else on this end and across the board that's listening to the broadcast will be able to hear as well. You got anything else you want to add, brother, in the past few minutes?
Just happy that we got this opportunity to be on your show, brother. I'm grateful for the opportunity for the brother Umar to allow us to be at the masjid. And I'm grateful for the people that have been calling, emailing daily about the summit to show some genuine interest. I want the people to know that the people that are coming put their own dollar to get there. This is how you know this is about sincerity, because the people have put their money where their mouth is. This is not a heavy vendor event. There will be certain vendors there. Some of the people that travel from out of town, you know, to pay their way at home and here as well. We will be organized. There is an agenda. Please come prepared. Be prepared to work. Be prepared to join. Because it's going to get going. Once it gets going, it's going to go fast. It has to be done immediately. We don't have time, man. You know, we had enough time of the talking and the fancy talks and the pretty paperwork. It's time to go to work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, brother. Well, I certainly appreciate you being here. And I look forward to us getting together and making this thing happen. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget you register at www.dialosakur.com. Just go to that website and click on the registration form, put your information in there, and make sure that you show your face in the place January the 12th through the 13th right here at Masjid El Salam's book tour right here on Pearl Street, 1625 North Pearl Street. But I'm going to go ahead and close this thing out, and I'm going to see you later on down the road.
Yes, sir.
All right. Peace, peace, brother.
a jungle out there. Beware, beware. It's a jungle out there. The jungle is a dark street at night, where wild animals lay low, out of sight. With implements of steel and menacing curses, they endeavor to separate the rich from their purses. The jungle has winners and losers, grinners and sobbers. It's a place where grown men play, cops and robbers. The name of the game is hide and seek, where the mean and the strong devour the weak. Where panther and python show their fangs. Oh no, they're not wild animals. They're street gangs. Jungle is a street of walls, where people listen when money calls. Computer addicts trying to win, while angry ulcers attack from within. Where cougars and impala stalk the streets, louder voice. Automated, animated, regulated clones bending the knee to Mr. Dow and Mr. Jones. Of the milk of human kindness, no one cares. Just the constant struggle of the bull and the bear.